Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 18, these are God's words. For it was fitting for him for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So far the reading of God's word. So Ezekiel, verse 10 says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things. Who is that person? For whom are all things, and by whom? That is Jesus. And you usually say God when you mean Jesus. And this is actually thinking of God more broadly, but of course it includes Jesus. And it's reminding us that the idea that Jesus would be made like us, that Jesus would suffer like us, and we would suffer like he has, that Jesus would, what is that torn out string? Do you lose it? Seems like you lost.
My pills fall.
Yeah, it's not good for the pills to be on the floor. Away for sure. Okay, so God, for whom are all things and by whom are all things. Okay, so one of the things that we are to remember when we are suffering and we remember that Jesus suffered and that we're just following him in our suffering is that we exist for God. Okay? God is the one for whom are all things. One of the things that a complaining spirit under a difficult providence shows about us is that there's still that fleshly part of us that feels like we exist for ourselves. Say, God, I exist for myself and I don't like suffering. Why am I suffering? You're doing it wrong. So we should be careful when we're suffering that we not grumble in our hearts or complain in our hearts. Because are we the ones for whom we are? No, God is the one for whom are which things, Victoria? Which things are for God? Everything else but you? No, which things are for God? No. All things. It's one of the things suffering reminds us for. I don't exist for me. I exist for God. Yeah. But it's not just the one for whom are all things. He's also the one by whom are all things. God is the one who has ordained. What has he ordained? Whatsoever comes to pass. And he is working all things according to the counsel of his will. And he just happens to be, in this context, as it reminds us, the one who gave Christ for us, to become a man for us, and defeat death for us, and be a propitiation to absorb, endure all of the wrath that we deserve, so that there would be only favor left for us. So if God has given Christ for that, do you think he's getting your sufferings right? You think he's ever making a mistake or forgetting to love you? Saying, I got to take care of all this stuff over here. I'm going to let Enoch suffer for a while. I know it's not really accomplishing anything, but it can't be helped. No, of course not. He is the one for whom are all things and the one by whom are all things. And what is he doing according to verse 10? Beatrice, Krista. What is the one for whom are all things and by whom are all things doing? Bringing many sons to glory. And so a believer who is suffering might say, oh, why am I suffering? And Hebrews 2 verse 10 says, to bring you to glory. Isn't that one of the answers that we see many times in the scriptures? I consider that these light and momentary afflictions are not to be compared with the eternal weight of glory. In one place it says that will be revealed in us. The other one, it's being reserved for us. So he's bringing us to glory. And someone has gone through first. Looking at verse 10, Enoch, when a troop or a regiment is about to go somewhere, who goes through first?
The captain.
The Greek here, archegos, which is actually, it involves more than captain. It's the idea, I like the word trailblazer, because the person, it's not just an idea of ruling and leading, but actually the one who endures first, who forges the way through to lead the people. So Jesus has been the first one to suffer. And there is a reminder every single week that we are Jesus' brethren. Where do we have that reminder? Who can tell me what's going on in verse 12 and verse 13? When does Jesus declare his name to his brethren? In the assembly. And that's where Jesus sings his Father's praise. In the assembly. And that's where we're presented not on the basis of the quality of our faith. Our faith connects us to Jesus. We're received in heaven on the basis of the quality of his faith. Look at that in verse 13. I will put my trust in him. That's Jesus saying that. And we're received in heaven based on the quality of his faith. You ever gotten to worship on a Lord's Day morning and maybe you had a bad morning or maybe you're just dull of soul that day and you feel like you really can't lift your faith up very well? How am I going to worship today? I feel dead in my heart. Well, we have a duty to prepare our hearts because God's worship is worthy of that. But we can also take heart that we're not received based on the strength and warmth of our faith that particular morning. We're actually received based upon the strength and warmth of Jesus' faith. Our faith functions as important because it is faith in Jesus and connects us to him. But the same, the weakest true faith of a believer has the same perfect Jesus as the strongest faith of a believer. And then again, here am I. And the children whom God has given me. And so, one of the places where we are most reminded in all of Scripture that Jesus is our elder brother, that he who has gone ahead is taking us there with him, because he may be the only begotten son, but he is leading many sons to glory. And so he doesn't just do that in an eternal, final way, but he actually does that on a weekly basis. Isn't that where we go on the Lord's days? Isn't that what Hebrews 12 teaches us, that we go to glory? And so we have these weekly visits to glory as a reminder that whatever comes the rest of the week, Jesus is our brother who is made like us in every way except without sin, and he is our trailblazer who has gone to glory, and we are following similar paths as our elder brother who gathers us up into glory week by week, and that he is doing that in every part of our lives. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, verse 14, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Very important, because what was happening to the ages of the people in the Genesis 11, verses 10 through 32 this week, John? What was happening to their ages at death? What was happening in the... They're getting younger and younger, reminding us that not only did they all die, but that death seems to be winning. We need someone who can win over death, win against death, and defeat the devil. And the Lord Jesus did that. And our deaths also are defeats of the devil. Because look, and release, verse 15, those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are some people who don't fear death, but that's because they're fools. But believers don't fear death, not because we're fools. Why don't we fear death? What can death do to us? What does death do to us if we belong to Jesus Christ? What does it do to us, you know?
We go to glory.
Yeah. Transports us into the more immediate presence of our Lord and our Savior. It's also a mechanism by which we are immediately, perfectly sanctified. It's kind of the ultimate warp. You're going along, finding the levels of the Christian life very difficult, and suddenly you die. You don't respawn where you are and continue in your difficulty, or at the beginning of the level. You warp immediately to the end, and you've got all the powers, and you've collected everything you need. Death has really been defeated badly by Jesus, hasn't it? And so, Jesus has transformed our suffering. Jesus has transformed our death. Jesus is our older brother. Jesus teaches us and reminds us of those things week by week in the assembly. Can you imagine not wanting to go to the assembly, to the weekly reminder that Jesus is your elder brother, because he gathers the group of his family on that day? You don't get that out on your own in the way that you do in the assembly. There's a special, particular blessing to the assembly. For indeed, he does not give aid to angels. Reminds us that he didn't owe us any of it. But he does give aid to whom? Verse 16, whom does Jesus aid?
The seed of Abraham.
Seed of Abraham. Anyone here physically descended from Abraham? No. You got Ham and Japheth and no Shem. I'm sorry, honey. Sad. Anyway, but who are the seed of Abraham? According to Romans, according to Galatians. Those who have the faith of Abraham. Now, anyone here, seed of Abraham in that way? How do all of us sit up, Zeke? Okay. So, the Lord has come to our aid, and he was made like us so that he could be merciful and faithful. And the greatest suffering Jesus went through is one that we will never go through. Where was that suffering that we will never go through? The cross, right? We can't make propitiation for us. Even if we could die with any atoning value, which we, of course we can't, but the very nature of propitiation means that there's none left to be made, that he has taken all of the wrath. And so when we suffer, yes, we suffer like Jesus, but we never suffer as much as Jesus. And we never suffer under wrath. He has done the hardest part. He is the trailblazer and the captain who has gone through first. Whatever we go through behind him is similar in nature, but not in intensity. Okay? He does not accomplish the same thing either. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. So our great captain who has gone through and done that initial and great suffering that is bigger than any suffering that we will ever go through and has accomplished something that our suffering will never have to accomplish. You think he's able to help us when we're coming through behind him and we've got all these little sufferings in our lives? Of course he is. And that's exactly what he's doing. And we're reminded of that weekly when? In the assembly. We follow after Christ and visit glory in him and say yes. In a very small, imperfect way today, I get to taste that which Jesus is doing in a final and ultimate and perfect way for me forever. So, Lord, we thank you for giving your Son that you, for whom are all things, have chosen to be glorified by doing us this good through Christ. We thank you for the assemblies that you give us a taste of the fact that he is our brother who has been made like us, and we are the seed of Abraham, are being made like Christ. We pray that you'd help us to remember when we suffer that we're just following our captain, and that he is more than able to help us, having gone through the hardest, just accomplishing part himself, and now helping us these parts. We pray, Lord, that you would forgive us our sin, for we do often grumble and complain against you. Grant, especially today, now that we have heard you, and now that we have spent this time in your word, that this would be a day in which we, more than ever to this point, rebuke all of our complainings and grumblings that rise from what remains of the flesh, and that the new man who is in Christ would bless your name and trust in Jesus and have fellowship with him. Grant this to us, we pray, in Christ's name, your children here say. Amen.